Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Your eyes, they're scanning the screen. You see something that's wretched. What are you going to do with it? That's obvious. Send it to idea@wretched.org. We love wretched things, sermons, stories, articles, whatever is wretched, please send it to idea@wretched.org. And that includes questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. Don't forget, you can use your thumbs and text away to 877-282-2337 and use your right to free speech before we weaponize it and take over the planet and control everything. Have you seen those stories, Jimmy? J.D. Vance delivered a speech, I believe it was in Munich, talking about the importance of free speech. And it's fascinating. I think it was the Prime Minister of Germany was like, well, we just see it differently. J.D. Vance is saying, hey, freedom of speech, free press, really important. Hold on, I got the article right here. There can be no security if you're afraid of the voices, the opinions, and the conscience that guide your own people. What I worry about is the threat from within, the retreat of Europe from some of its most fundamental values, like religion, like speech. Vice President says, Europe faces a crisis of its own making. Yep, pointing to censorship and disregard for voter sentiment as bigger dangers than external adversaries. Now, the German president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, said, it's clear the new American administration holds a worldview that is very different from our own. Yep. And somebody in Germany should know better, because in World War II, free speech was stifled, unless, of course, you're Margaret Brennan. What's a Margaret Brennan? She's from CBS, Sunday Morning Face the Nation. She criticized J.D. Vance's speech, claiming, this is just staggering, that the Holocaust happened because free speech was weaponized. What? What? It is the exact opposite of what happened in Nazi Germany. Are you kidding me? And the answer is no. And that's coming from the press. They just see it differently. They have to control speech because they're actually claiming free speech can be weaponized. So the dissemination of bad ideas can actually be manipulated by those in power to control. Talk about what's up is down and what's down is up. Absolutely staggering. People weaponize free speech. Free speech is what is used to keep people from tyranny. That's it's just absolutely amazing. So exercise while you still have it, your right to free speech. Text away 877-282-2337.
So we're going to start with the most important question that I have for today. This is from Joe.
Well, then it's all going to be downhill.
Yeah, it absolutely will be all downhill all right from here. But I wanted to give you enough time if it needs to take the entire show. Todd, I was wondering, how do you make sous vide chicken salad?
Is the biggest question.
I heard you talk about it a while back. And so I got a sous vide, but I don't remember how you said you did it.
Well, the chicken cooking part is easy. If you're not turned on to sous vide, I'm telling you, you will actually get a better glimpse of the amazing food and banquet we will experience in heaven if you get a sous vide. I'm telling you, see, everybody does that. Everybody laughs at when I say it's the best type of meat you'll ever eat is when you do the sous vide business. And then they eat it and they're like, oh man, my world has just been colored for the first time. You put the meat into a Ziploc baggie with whatever flavorings you like. So if you're doing a chicken salad like tarragon or rosemary, whatever you're into, and you just put it in a Ziploc bag. You dip it in the warm bath, a sous vide. It's just a water heater. And you put the, you set the temperature for however long you want it to cook to the degree you want it. You'll never have more tender meat, period. Then you make your chicken salad any way that you want to. It's a game changer because typically, you know, with chicken salad, it's really tough with chicken dishes where you have to saute the chicken and then put it into something because it can sometimes get cooked twice and you're chewing a shoe. Not with sous vide. So boil it and you'll be happy. I'm not kidding. If the Lord says Fortis Institute is done and I need to go find a gig to support my family, I'm selling the sous vide machine. That's all I'm... Oh, by the way, speaking of chicken, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. We had Zaxby's the other day. The chicken was awful. That hurts a lot. I'm not sure. I couldn't finish it. I could not finish a Zaxby's chicken sandwich.
Wow.
And then I saw a video just this morning, this avian bird flu. What's up with that? I got to talk to Tucker Carlson. He's got to give us the down low on what's happening with the bird flu, because I'm sure Joe Biden is involved somehow with this, but all the chickens are dying and the eggs are more expensive.
Yeah.
Is that true?
All the chickens are dying, yeah.
Well, what in the world? You know what? All right. You can just insert the black helicopter sound effect now. I'm just telling you, Pfizer's going to come up with an avian vaccine. That's all I'm saying. Every chicken needs to get one. Or you don't love your grandparents.
They've already fast-tracked one.
Did they really?
Yes, they have. I don't know if it was Pfizer, but someone...
Stop!
Let me find that story.
Stop! 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Brian. Todd, you made a statement the other day that sin is never satisfied. Is that credited to someone or is that an original wretched thought?
I don't have any original thoughts. So probably taking it, I don't know. Somebody was just writing, rightly so, about the issue of plagiarism. There's definitely lines, to be sure. But when it comes to preaching a sermon, a pastor, for instance, is probably going to read a number of commentaries. And I think some of the rules would be, if you do a direct quote, give the guy credit. Give the woman credit. It's their intellectual property. So just say it. Like the other day, this wasn't easy, from the pulpit, I had to give credit to C.S. Lewis and then immediately offer the C.S. Lewis disclaimer. But his thoughts on heaven were so profoundly insightful that I just had to use them, man. But I had to give him credit because it was a direct quote. But that doesn't mean that everything that you read in a commentary that kind of gets into your brain and joggled around and then spit out in your words demands a quote. Now, if it's an idea, let's say, for instance, I said, forever, the law must precede the gospel. That's mine. You say that sounded a lot like Charles Spurgeon when he said, evermore, the law must precede the gospel. But see, I changed the word evermore to forever, so therefore it's mine. If it's close, you got to give credit. If it's an idea that is somebody's, that is, especially if they're known for it, give them credit. And sometimes pastors are concerned to do that because they might find themselves having to give credit all throughout the sermon. That would be an indication. You're not putting enough thought into it, sir. Not everything needs to be cited with a reference and giving credit where credit is due. But there are definitely times when you should. As far as the comment, sin is never satisfied, I suppose I heard that. That sounds too smart for me. 8772. Do you know who said that, Jimmy? Put it in the AI machine.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing right now.
Of course. Who first said... That sin is never satisfied.
Yeah, it's...
I'll bet it, you know what? It probably goes back early church. You want to bet? You got something?
No, it says it may not be directly attributed to a single historical figure.
You see, what does AI know?
It doesn't know.
It doesn't know everything on the AI machine. I think a lot of people have said that because it's true. It always wants more. Sin is like Lucy Brown. Yeah, that's right. She's Lucy Brown, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. No.
Lucy, Charlie Brown. It's his sister, Lucy, right?
Oh, was that his sister? Lucy was his sister? I don't know.
Whatever Lucy's last name was, that's what Sin is like. She holds the football. Come on, give it a go. You'll love it, Charlie Brown. Whoop, on his back he lies every single time. That is Sin. And it lies. Why? Because it comes from the chief liar, which is Satan himself. And that is why when you play with sin, even around the edges, do you think you can hold fire to your chest and not get burned? I wrote that because that wasn't a direct quote. You can't play with fire and not get burned. And the same thing is true with sin. Now, here is the one part of this that I think we too often fail to tack on any sort of warning about sin. It's not just bad for you to commit sin. To not commit sin is exponentially better for you. Sin whispers, you love this. You know you love this. And then what do you know? You're like Charlie Brown, flat on your back, disappointed, maybe disgusted with yourself. Every time you say no to sin, you have chosen the better thing. This is Wretched Radio.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at fortisplus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit fortisplus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to fortisplus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, they're not for the faint of heart, and in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're struggling with communication. Maybe your kids seem a bit out of control. Maybe you're just trying to keep your head above water. But here's the truth. Your home wasn't designed just to survive.
But what would it look like for someone to catch sight of your marriage and think, I think it's really, really alive and it's thriving?
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor, helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Each episode of Thrive tackles real issues with biblical wisdom, from resolving conflicts to rekindling romance to raising godly children in an ungodly world. Don't settle for survival mode. Let God's word transform your home into what He designed it to be. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive at fortisinstitute.org.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these 3 questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What could possibly go wrong? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you sent me the article from LifeSite News. USDA conditionally approves bird flu vaccine for the avian flu business. Mm-hmm. What could possibly... They've rushed it to the chicken market.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong? I look forward to consuming a chicken that was injected with a mystery vaccine. I'm sure it will have no side effects. Just trust the science.
That's it.
Do what you're told. Really? As if chickens these days are not already, and they've got so much. Go get a chicken at Costco. Just try it. If you've got a membership, go to the Costco, get the $4.99 chicken. It's the rotisserie thing. They smell delicious and they're bigger than the ones that you get at grocery stores and cheaper. It's a price leader for Costco. And then give it a bite. And first of all, you're going to go, I don't think a chicken breast should be like 6 inches thick. How did this thing get so big? And then it's got this texture to it. That was the texture that they had at Zaxby's the other day. It's like, this isn't chicken. The texture of it doesn't even seem like chicken. And they're so huge. These are like the... Apparently, Costco just buys all the bully chickens, the big chickens that walk around the farmyard kicking sand into the face of the small chickens. They're too big. And the texture of it, it just ain't right. So now we're going to put a vaccine so that we can have more birds to eat because that'll be better for us.
But I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. I mean, 2 weeks to slow the spread.
This is eerily familiar. Would you please send horrifying things to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jimmy, not me, but this is from Jimmy who wrote in, Todd, my pastor asked someone what number they are on the Enneagram. Oh boy. Should I run from this church?
Not yet. Something like that, you would need to sit down and talk with a fellow about it because most people think it's harmless. Most people aren't aware that it is, as its roots, squarely in occultic practices. Furthermore, I do believe that it's an undermining of the sufficiency of the Bible. I don't need an Enneagram test to tell me what my giftings are, my personality type. I need people in the body to say, I've watched you. This is what you're like. Did you know that you do this? You know, I see you serving in that capacity. We've already got a built-in Enneagram in the context of the local church. We don't need these mechanisms. Especially one that has the background that we know the Enneagram has. Was it Ren Cherry? Would you Google Ren Cherry Enneagram?
The book.
Yeah, the book. And because he did a deep dive into the history and the fellow who invented this occultic tool that has made its way into churches. Most aren't aware of that. But most are using it probably pretty harmlessly, probably. But it's unbiblical labeling. Biblical labeling is always the best. Biblical definitions, biblical words are always filled with hope, even as they might hurt. To be called, rather than saying you're an addict, no, you're enslaved to alcohol or to drugs. So much more helpful because Jesus breaks the chains of those who are enslaved to sin. We need to use biblical language and not a red cherry duck banana split or whatever the language is. You find his book?
Yep. It's a Enneagram Theology. Is it Christian? It's a short book, 150 pages.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about it here when it came out a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Where is Ren these days anyway? He was at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. I suspect he's out there pastoring someplace. That church would be blessed. I wouldn't run from a church, but I'd sit down, I'd gather up information. I'd maybe grab Ren's book, share with him your concerns about it, and start with asking, do you know that? Why do you use the Enneagram? Do you know where it comes from? So it's always best when you think that somebody's maybe doing something that ain't so good, ask questions, because then you won't be accusatory. You're going to sound like you're just interested in that you care. And maybe the guy goes, no, I just thought it was kind of helpful. And I grant you, there's something about these tests, these diagnostic personality tests, they can be somewhat helpful. but they're not needed. They're just not needed. You don't need them, especially one that is just, it's just, it has bad origins. And I think it should simply be avoided. Ask him questions, see what he says. If he doesn't know anything about it, then give him Wren's book, share it with him, and then revisit it again in 4 weeks, 8 weeks. And if the church is otherwise sound, the guy, let's say he doesn't change his take on the Enneagram, it wouldn't be a deal breaker per se. It would be agitating for me. It could be indicative of some other soft spots elsewhere. But based on that alone, if the church is otherwise orthodox, I wouldn't say a personality test would be a deal breaker. Would you, Jimmy?
No. I would definitely want to have a conversation with him first.
And you can.
Yeah.
And a good shepherd, if you approach it respectfully, without the finger pointing, if he's a good guy, he's going to take it in. And let's just say, when all is said and done, that the guy says, you know, I've read it, I've thought it through, I just don't see the issue, I feel this way about it. Probably as a courtesy, he should stop doing it because he knows that at least one in the congregation doesn't dig it. And that's what we do with our liberties. We put them on the back burner. If I find out you don't like something, I better have a really, 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 really overwhelming reason to override what Christian liberty is supposed to promote in us. And that is my willingness to give it up. And just think how much closer you guys will be when it either gets resolved one way or another. Whenever there's conflict, whenever it gets resolved, the relationship should always be stronger. Now, there's sometimes some sins are big and ugly and it takes time. I grant you that. But if you can get to the other side of it, oh man, you might just find yourself loving your pastor even more than I hope you already do. 877-282-2337.
Wren Cherry is currently the director of finances at ACBC.
Oh, is that right? He's still there.
Uh-huh. And adjunct professor of biblical counseling at Midwest.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yep, that he's there. Good brother, good book, very helpful. And I would just, again, at the risk of beating the horse to smithereens, you need your local church to tell you your personality type. Think of a Enneagram as AI. It has limitations. You need that human component. You need somebody who sees you, watches you, rubs elbows with you. Whatever that means. What does that mean exactly? Is it because you're sitting at a table and your elbows are close and you're rubbing them with each other?
That's probably where it started.
If you're a germaphobe, that probably didn't work for you. But that's what you need. Somebody to tell you, this is what I see in you. The Enneagram can't do that. 877-282-2337.
All right, a text from Gabe. Todd, how do we know when we should fast and how do we know when we fasted long enough?
It's up to you. Well, I think fast enough, if you want to like a hard and fast on that, no pun intended. Don't get sick. That's not the point of it. We do not have biblical commands for when you're supposed to fast, how long you're supposed to fast, from what you're supposed to fast. Fasting is one of those things that an individual does voluntarily to speak a stronger word to the Lord. I'm so earnest about this, Lord. I'm so serious in my prayer request. I'm abstaining from fill in the blank to let you know, please, would you respond to my prayer with an affirmation and just, please, would you do this? I'm trying to show you how much it means to me. That's the purpose of fasting. How often you do it, it's up to you. If you find yourself in a system where they insist on it, well, then they're making a law where there is no law. And if it is a church that makes it a thing, even if it's a trendy thing, sort of like Jensen Franklin's church, he's big into fasting and he probably does that so he can fit into his designer suits. Now, that's a church that has lost its centrality, that has grabbed onto something that is trendy or perhaps works for marketing or for whatever other purposes. Now, fasting isn't the centerpiece of the Christian life. We have Corey and his family were at Disney. Came back and they said they were in the thing. It was one of the thingies that they've got at Disney. I don't want to get all specific here, but it was, you know, it was a film and it was this interactive experiential sort of thing. And I can't think of the name of it, but it was these individuals. They were like the monkeys were celebrating. I could be totally biffing this, but you'll get the point anyway. They're celebrating And I think the skies started to thunder. And the commenter of one of the celebrators was, uh-oh, the gods are angry at us for celebrating too much. That's the opposite of Christianity. We are the eating people. We're the rejoicing people. We're the joyful people. You can fast if you would like to. Do it privately. Don't do it to show off. Don't do it with a long face. Don't put ashes on your forehead. Don't let the world know what you're up to. This is between you and the Lord. But fasting, far more the exception. The Christian posture, typically, when it comes to food and drink, is that we enjoy it because we know that it has been provided by the one who's preparing a much grander banquet for us. Bottom line, it's up to you. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break production of Fortis Institute. The Department of Education is finally putting teeth into the fight against discriminatory DEI programs by giving schools just 2 weeks to eliminate these divisive initiatives or lose federal funding. Acting Assistant Secretary Craig Treanor laid down the law in a February 14th letter, making clear that treating students differently based on race violates civil rights laws, whether it's in admissions, scholarships, or any other aspect of campus life. This comes as more than 30 states have introduced legislation to rid education of this poisonous ideology, with UCLA's medical school serving as a sobering warning. Over half of their diversity-focused cohorts since 2020 are failing basic medical competency tests. Speaking of institutional capture, Planned Parenthood's House of Cards may finally be collapsing. A bombshell New York Times report features over 50 employees describing botched procedures, minimal training, and compromised patient care. Despite raking in hundreds of millions in donations, they're paying rock-bottom salaries while patients suffer life-threatening injuries. Meanwhile, the Department of Health and Human Services is showing signs of sanity, officially defining a woman as an adult human female under new guidance from Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The policy emphasizes the biological truth that sex is determined at conception, a refreshing return to reality in federal policy. Up north in Canada, we're seeing exactly why such clarity is needed. A male advisor to Prime Minister Trudeau, who identifies as female and pulls in about $140,000 a year, just claimed the fastest female title in a Montreal 5K race, beating out a 12-year-old girl who would have won. Nathaniel Morin smugly defended taking 9 women's racing titles across 3 countries, calling his biological reality mere medical history. And the battle for children's innocence continues in New York, where Penfield parents confronted their school board over an LGBT book targeting elementary students. The Rainbow Parade, featuring men in BDSM gear and naked people at pride parades, content that should never be anywhere near an elementary school library. When one mother dared to ask why there were naked men in a children's book, the superintendent responded by accusing parents of hatred for raising concerns. Meanwhile, Hollywood continues its assault on sacred truth, casting a self-described queer actress to play Jesus in an upcoming production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And in a tragic reminder of social media's dark influence, parents are suing TikTok after their 16-year-old son took his life following exposure to thousands of suicide-related videos. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Mexican. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Free stuff, get you free stuff here. This is Wretched Radio. If you like free stuff, you'll love this offer. We would like to give you Drive-By Marriage free, including the study guide, short lectures. It will enhance your marriage. I do not care what the status of your marriage is. Well, I mean, I care. But whatever level it's at, it will be improved if you work through Drive-By Marriage together as a couple. If you're engaged, do this. It will save you some pain. And it's absolutely free. So what do you have to lose except your email address? Because otherwise we can't send it to you. Just visit, is it FortisInstitute.org or Fortis Plus? No, Fortis Plus.
Yeah, I think they both work.
But I think Fortis Plus, because that's where you can actually do the streamy thingy, majiggy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. FortisPlus.org, our gift to you. And one other note before we get to you and your mailbag stuff. If you have a question for any of the fellows here at Fortis Institute, just put their name, Brad@FortisInstitute.org. Send it to them. You got a question about marriage, his podcast, Greg Gifford, John Kratz. Just send it to them with their name, FortisInstitute.org. And that includes Jimmy@FortisInstitute.org. He loves getting emails.
Well, they don't like to ask me questions.
No, they just keep telling it. They just keep encouraging you with this pay raise business.
Oh,
who started that?
You did.
No, I did not.
You started it. I jumped on it. And then it turned into a thing.
It did turn into a thing. Send your emails to wretched@idea@wretched.org. And you can text away with whatever it is that is on your mind. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from John. Todd, I've been considering purchasing a premium Bible in the $200 price range, but I've read criticism that expensive Bibles are a Christian status symbol. However, others say high craftsmanship brings a great reverence to God's word. Is it wrong to bring a Bible like this to church if it could be potentially distracting?
Well, if it's potentially distracting, then I wouldn't, because it's potentially distracting. And that's Christian liberty in action. We give up what we have the right to do. What I say, you can't buy a $200 Bible. Now, your economic affairs are between you and the Lord, and are some of the issues that people cited, those are possibilities. You know, could it be a Christian status symbol? Well, I guess if that's your heart, maybe you're getting it because it's like, no, I want a Bible and I want this till I die so I can give it to my kids and my grandkids so it can get by. I'm not going to argue with that. It's between you and the Lord, and you've got discretionary income and your attitude about the Bible and how it gets treated. If you look historically how the Jews treated the Bible, whoa, they spent more than $200. The finery that they attached to the Bible was just some of these exhibits. I'm not sure I would commend the Bible Museum in Washington, but I remember when it was traveling around and it was put up in storefronts and strip malls in Atlanta, went to it. Wow, there was some care put into the Bible. And I think that it's perfectly fine, but it's up to each individual's discretion and how much they want to spend on a Bible. But if you bring it to church and people are like, oh, that's showing off, then I give it up. You don't have to, but you want to, because you just don't want to be a stumbling block. And I would also then add this. If you see somebody at church and they've got a ritzy Bible, before you judge it or get offended by it, ask them about it. And if you're not willing to ask them about it, then my encouragement to you would be to set it aside. You don't know the details. So just let the person bring their fancy Bible and put the best construction on it. There must be a reason for that, and it's not going to bother me. I can only afford this thing. I had to take a Bible from the nightstand at a hotel. I'm not commending that either. That's not something that you should do. But the point is, you maybe don't have a Bible because you can't afford it, and that person does. Well, then rejoice with them. And if you're not willing to talk to them about it because you think it could be a sin issue, which would be the only reason I can even imagine bringing it up to somebody, then just go, wow, praise God. Lord, you're good to that family. And I rejoice with them at the joy that they must have in carrying around that Bible. That's church life. It's Christian liberty, a willingness to give up and a willingness to not get agitated when somebody has a liberty that maybe you don't. 877-28. Jimmy, I still have not gotten rid of my nightstand Bible. You know what I'm going to do? I now get it. I learned something. This is so funny. My nightstand Bible is in tatters.
Yeah.
And it's the back cover.
Uh-huh.
And now some of the concordance back there is getting a little crumpled up. I got to duct tape it.
Oh, that's what you're
going to
do.
I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to duct. I can't say goodbye.
I've got a better solution for you.
Okay.
You should have it restitched, recovered.
Yeah. No.
Why?
Because why is right? It's very expensive to do that.
Probably. I want to learn how to do it. So
you probably, no, Mrs. Hicks would learn how to do it. Let's be honest here. She's the one who would tackle something like that.
Everybody needs a supervisor.
I mean, I'm just going to duct tape and keep using it. It's a perfectly good Bible. The ink isn't smeared. I don't have a ton of notes in there. It was never like my pew Bible. So I don't want to get rid of it. And there ain't nobody looking at my Bible on my nightstand going to care about duct taping it. But now, isn't this funny? How many times I've seen people with a duct tape Bible and I kind of think, that's kind of shabby. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny what experience teaches us? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Peter. Todd, I read that textualism is a practice of interpreting the Bible by strictly adhering to its text. I can't tell if this is a good or bad thing. Does it mean that textualists don't bother with historical context or hermeneutics?
Nope, it doesn't. In fact, you have to have those things. Otherwise, you cannot understand the text rightly. The job of the interpreter is to put yourself in first century sandals. That means reading those introductory notes can be super helpful. Who's writing this letter? When did they write it? From where did they write it? To whom did they write it? What were the circumstances? What was going on in the culture, the economy, war, peace? Those are all things that help you to get it. But those things do not sit on top of the interpretive process. They support it. Otherwise, you're going to import those things and you're going to make the Bible say all kinds of goofy things. So learn those things. That's the grammatical, historical approach. The grammar is reading the text the way that it was written, intended by the original author. The historical is understanding all of the context that the original audience would have automatically understood because they were living in that world. So both are required for a grammatical, historical, interpretive hermeneutic, which reminds me, you could go get Tribe by Marriage for free, but we also have Herman Hu. I think Herman Hu is extremely helpful when it comes to understanding hermeneutics, and it's perfect for a Sunday school class. Teach it to your youth group. Teach them how to read the Bible rightly. One of the best pieces of advice that I remember hearing is if you want your church to be on the same page, make sure that your entire church knows how to read the Bible the same way. Because if you don't, look out. You're going to be starting your own denomination in a heartbeat. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Deborah. Todd, do you think it's idolatry to view and appreciate artwork with themes from the Bible, especially those that are found in Catholic churches and the Vatican museums?
Well, the problem that I have with those, besides it could be iconoclasm, is the images typically are very exalted of Mary and the saints. I'd break those windows in a heartbeat. I would. You maybe don't remember the iconoclast controversy during the Reformation, but there were people who broke these lovely stained glass windows because they thought that that was a violation of making a graven image. That was a big deal. And there are still people that hold to that today. I actually honor that. I don't personally think it is unless you are worshiping a stained glass window. You're worshiping an image. I don't think that you're making an idol. You're just making a picture. To maybe help you understand the story. I suspect a lot of people could have gotten saved in the Middle Ages from windows and doors. Check out Ulrich Zwingli's door in Zurich. The door has got the God. It starts, it's a massive, massive, two doors, really big, would stand maybe 15 feet tall. They're huge. And they have panels. And it starts on the left, upper left-hand side with the garden. And then it makes its way all throughout the Old Testament, Jesus, crucifixion, resurrection. People can get saved from that. If you're not worshiping it, I personally don't have a problem. I fully respect those who believe that it is a violation of the second commandment. And I would not want to abuse my liberty in front of you in that regard. But it depends on how you view a graven image. Is it just making an image, or is it making an image to give your affection to? That to me is the violation, not just the image. You might disagree. And if you do, you can send it to idea@wretched. You do disagree with me, Jimmy?
No, I don't disagree. I don't think, I think we see craftsmanship all throughout scripture. I mean, the tabernacle and the temple, I think God appreciates good artistic craftsmanship, but it's the place it holds in our heart for sure.
Yeah, that's the issue to me. But there's other folks that would say, nope, just can't do. They can't watch Jesus movies or films or anything. Not commending the chosen, but the point is, it depends on the heart. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bickney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to fortisinstitute.org right now. That's fortisinstitute.org, and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not dropping names or anything. Oh, yes, I am. This is Wretched Radio. As soon as we are done here at Wretched Radio, I have the privilege of walking to the TV studio to sit down with Dr. Adam Tyson. Yep, one of our fellows. He's in town. Flew all the way from California to spend 3 days with us. We're going to be recording a wonderful resource for Gen Zers. Adam Tyson is our fellow who does the podcast for young men. The new resource is called Walk Like a Man, which I always thought the song was kind of funny because the dude sang like a girl. Never quite made sense to me. This is going to help young men to get it, to figure out, okay, the culture is screaming this. Society says that. Everything seems to be topsy-turvy. Where's my compass? And this resource is going to help with that. We're going to do some wretched TV together. And then he's going to preach at Alpha at a Bible church on Sunday morning. Super excited about that. He's actually going to do, I was surprised that he offered this. I sent Adam an email and I said, you're going to be filling the pulpit on Sunday. Let's talk about what you're going to be preaching on, because we like our service to be coherent. We like it to be about the sermon so that it just gets reinforced constantly. Furthermore, we have a goal in expository preaching, and that goal is that when the sermon is done, we will all love the Savior more. That's the goal. Now, obviously, that's up to the work of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that aim. Nevertheless, it's got to drive toward loving the Lord your God. That's what I get to preach on in 2 weeks. I can't wait to dive into the text where Jesus said, here's the summary of the two commandments. Love God, love people. I'm going to do a little diving into other religions to see how much they talk about love. Christianity has the market cornered on love. It's got to be God first, then everybody else after that. Yeah, I do believe that there can be an ordo amoris to our love and how much we can actually exercise that love for other people. Even so, we're the love religion, and we hope that when the preaching is done, we will all love the Lord more. So I sent that to Adam and said, so that's the goal. What got any sermons that you'd like to bring? Sends me a whole, like a ton of them. And it was like, they're all really good. And I chose Jesus is better. And it's an overview of the book of Hebrews, which is the book of Jesus is better. He's better than angels. He's better than Melchizedek. He's better. And so it will be expository, I'm sure, but it's going to be a total overview of the book of Hebrews. And I can't wait. Sorry to drop a name on you. If you'd like to drop a name or frankly anything else, you can do that at idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337 for the texter machine.
This is from Jason. Todd, I struggle with pride and arrogance and and the Lord convicted me last night so much that I need to address the issue. Mm-hmm. Do you have any book recommendations that could help me?
I'm going to go with the Bible. That's what I'm going to go. Yeah, there are some books. We probably have something in the Fortis store. Just go to fortisinstitute.org. Look for the store. I think one is called Pride.
From Pride to Humility, Stuart Scott. That's an excellent book.
Yeah. Who's the author of that one?
Stuart Scott.
Oh, Stuart is? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very reliable stuff. So you can get that book and work on that specifically. Otherwise, sit under the preaching of the word, read your Bible, hang out with other believers. I watch the power of the local church. I can see it. I see it in individuals. I see it in families. The local church is where it is at, Daddy-O. Be plugged in. Be consuming the means of growth in the context of your local church. And it's going to help you with pride. Ben, and dude, just so you know, you ain't alone. That is all of our chief sin. That's the one that is the promoter of all other sins. I want me, mine. I've got to have it my way. I desire this. I prefer that. I think that's the root of all sin is pride. And it's something that we have to uproot constantly. So you can get that book or just read the book. It will help you with pride. Here's another recommendation. This one might surprise you. R.C. Sproul's The Holiness of God.
I was just about to say that. Were you thinking that too? I was.
Because it makes you, it's like, oh boy, I have no right to have pride about anything. I'm not even a bug. I'm dirt. I'm dirtier than dirt. Ask Uzzah. Dirtier than dirt. So God killed him for touching the ark and violating it. I mean, just, that'll bring you down a couple of pegs. We don't have that one in the store, but you can find it wherever. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Tyler. He texted in, Todd, should I work to give to those who need, or should I leave an inheritance to my children's children?
Up to you. There are no rules. You do what you desire to do. Get wise counsel. Read what the Bible says. It's good to leave an inheritance for your kids. It's not mandatory. Depends on your kids, maybe. I suppose there's that dilemma. I've seen those BBC movies. I'm writing him out of the will because he's a rascal and a rabscallion, because that's the way they talk in BBC dramas. So it's really up to you. And God gives discretion in so many of these areas when it comes to money and finances. It's going to be a heart issue. And you've got dynamics that I couldn't possibly understand, which is why, again, get yourself some wisdom in the context of your local church. Because they can ask you the question. We can't do it. A book can't even do it. A book written on, should I leave an inheritance to the kids? It can't possibly cover your particular situation. It can't. It's not custom designed, but the counsel that you receive in the context of a local church is. Jimmy, mm-hmm. I had a meeting this morning with Gio.
Yep.
And we're talking about our 25th anniversary spot. It's our 25th anniversary here. And we're talking about the spots. And we were talking about local churches and our desire to see local churches filled with joyful worshipers who serve in the context of the local church. And I thought we should, even just to the TV show, should go find all of the times where I have yelled or even said calmly, become a member of a local church. And I would estimate hundreds of times. And I'm not, it's not because that's the company mantra. I'm telling you, it's so good for you. You need it. And it is, if nothing else for you, it's not the greatest motivation for becoming a member of a church. It's your safe place. You have people there that will have your back. You get into trouble, they're there. They're going to help you one way or another. At least good churches will. And by the way, just a shout out to those of you who, when I do harangue about becoming a member of a local church and you've had a really bad experience, please note, it was precisely that. Don't impute that to every single church on the planet. They're not all that way. No, none of them are perfect, but they're not all terrible. There are wonderful churches. You just haven't found one yet. So don't give up. Become a member of a local church, and then you can tell us about it at 877-282-2337.
So you said it's not a company mantra, but I think it should be one of the most important Christian mantras.
Well, that's what I meant. I was saying is I'm not just toting the line. I know it is the Christian line.
Right.
I meant that, like, I'm not just saying it because it's the Christian, the corporate line, the church line, the Christian line. It's because I've seen it. It isn't just what I read about. Okay, so it looks like it's really important for us to be in local churches. Amen, and I'll scream that too. But I've seen it for myself. I watch it. I just cannot tell you all of the advantages of being a serving member of a local church. And if you've been burned, I'm truly sorry. And if you've never experienced the sweetness of a congregation that loves one another because we all love the Lord, I'm sorry for that, but they're out there. Move if you need to, but find one. You will be blessed and you'll bless others. Now, can I give the email address for you to read something?
Yes.
Okay. 877-282-2337.
That's a phone number. That's not even the email address.
idea@wretched.org.
Okay. This is from Anonymous. I was wondering, how do you prevent growing stagnant in the battle against sexual sin?
Yeah. You got to stay in the war. You got to keep feeding your soul. You've got to keep having an enhanced view of Jesus Christ. You need expulsive power. It's not enough to continue hating your sin. That is not enough. It's not sufficient. It will not get you to the finish line strong. You need a better replacement. If you do not have a better paramour in the wings, you will never abandon your love. You just won't. You have got to hate your sin. That is certain, but you have got to grow in your love for Jesus Christ. And then the thought of clicking that button and looking at that image or whatever it is that you're doing with your body, it's going to be, you're going to hate it and disdain it and replace it with the better. Jesus is the better. Hey, that kind of came full circle right there.
Yep.
He's just, his ways are better. They are better for you. So keep studying Jesus. Keep hating your sin. Stay in the battle. Get your accountability, all that jazz. But whatever you do, just keep turning your eyes upon Jesus. Look long in his wonderful face, and your desire for sexual impurity, it will diminish and ultimately die. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.